Welcome back to the podcast. I got an incredible lineup of stories for you today, ranging through a bunch of different topics. So stay tuned. I don't think you're going to want to miss any of this. This first story, I don't know if it's anything so revolutionary or breaking news kind of thing. And I don't know if maybe you've seen it going around or not. I don't know what is now, you know, viral, getting around in the mainstream. And I say that because everything's gotten so fragmented. Hard really to tell for me what's going on over Twitter. I don't watch cable news. I see the Drudge Report. I see some of the other big curators and kind of get a sense, but it's all propagandized. I think the headline, the big headline on the Drudge Report today was something about, you know, the coming AI apocalypse. You know, every week, what does that tell you? It tells you there's no news or nothing that they can share with you, or it's just a complete and utter distraction. Who knows which? We'll never know. And this story, to some extent, is a distraction, I guess, from the issues of the day as well, but I think it bears some discussion. And the story is that this hunter, I guess, where was it? Wyoming, I want to say. This hunter, some rural state, obviously, where they have wolves. I mean, we have wolves in Pennsylvania, but not like this. He might get a $250 ticket. Well, let me just tell you the story. I guess he was out. How he came across this wounded wolf, or he wounded it, one or the other. And he was able to get a hold of it, which is a little strange to me. And he taped its mouth shut and then proceeded to parade it around a bar before taking it out and killing it. And I'm sure there's a story behind this and facts unbeknown to us. I'll just say this to you. And I would imagine there's a problem with the coyotes. This guy might be a farmer. It looks like it could be, I have no idea. I'm talking about judging a book by its cover, but he looks dressed to be a hunter, farmer, same thing. And maybe this coyote or this wolf had done a lot of damage to his livestock. You know, maybe there was a lot of sheep or poultry. Who knows what they were getting into. And so maybe the farmer hunter was on a vet. I don't know. I'm speculating. But, you know, there may be a reason. There always is a reason. That being said, I'm going to say to you that carrying that out like that is not a good idea in any way, shape, or form. I look at the photograph here, this beautiful wolf. Big, beautiful paws, just amazing creatures, really. And I get it. If you're, you know, trying to make a living from raising sheep, you have a little different perspective on the wolves and they need to be hunted in those areas. And that's fine. You know, a clean shot, a clean kill, you know, that's fine. That's a balance of nature. This is unnecessary suffering, unnecessary brutality. And it's not good on either side. It's not good for the wolves. It's not good for the people who are witnessing it. Certainly not good for young people. And I'll say to you, I don't think it's always the case because I've seen some cases where, particularly when a kind of a mob herd mentality kicks in, some mistreatment of animals that were probably going to die anyway, which was probably the case. But I don't think that's a fair excuse anyway at all. At all, not one bit in my perspective. I just, you know, maybe my perspective has changed a little bit as I've gotten older. Maybe you want to say, oh, I'm being a big softy. I don't think I'm being a big softy. I just don't think that the unnecessary suffering is a good idea. And the guy's sitting here smiling, he's having a beer, and the wolf's about to die. It's not a good idea. I don't agree with it at all, morally. And I think we need to set a better example. When I was, and I'll just give you a little perspective on this. I'm a Marine combat veteran. I got my first firearm when I was 12 years old. It's hunting since I was 12 years old, out in the woods, killed plenty of animals. And some of them didn't go down easy. Sometimes a little tough. And it has to be done. It has to be done. You know, I'm not a vegetarian. I love meat. And it's a necessary balance. You know, here we have a white-tailed deer. They have to be thin. There's other animals as well. the groundhogs here for, we have a pear tree out back, and I was afraid, like, we're getting a family of them in here. My neighbor's shed, our pears, and this other kind of ravine area is the perfect habitat. I'm gonna have to be hunting some of these guys out at some point. That didn't happen, by the way, for whatever reason. I don't know where the heck where they went, where they migrated to. But they disappeared somehow. I can't imagine the fox took them out. I think we may have a coyote around here as well. I see that from some of the scat in the yard. I have to go over our yard pretty free. We have a dog run where they're supposed to go, and they do go about two-thirds of the time. But, you know, when they're out running around, they got to go, they got to go. Anyway, point being, I've been an outdoors person, hunter, shooter my whole life. This is not that. My father, he wouldn't let me hunt. Wouldn't let me archery hunt until I could put 6 out of 6 arrows into a pie plate sized target at 30 yards. So, you know, I don't want you wounding the animal. You make a clean kill, one shot, one kill. It's the way I was raised. And to have some mercy and some decency. And I don't see any of that here at all. It's a very open and shut case, in my opinion. And I'm sure the animal rights people and the liberal media get involved and just crucify this guy to no end and whatever's going to happen. And I don't know if I agree with that either, but probably a little better understanding would be good. Now, I would imagine the guy's not going to do something like that again, but you never really know, do you? Secretive Chinese military advancements could pose a threat to the U.S. and to the world, is this report. So, what do we make of this? Why is this important? This is from theexpress.com. I don't know how reliable the information is. China's military currently undergoing clandestine progress and modernization under the leadership of Xi Jinping, who wants to thrust his troops into 21st century warfare. This sounds like war machine propaganda to me. Xi previously announced that he would see to a significant overhaul of the People's Liberation Army to ensure they are prepared for modern combat, including the areas of space, cyber intelligence, and electronic warfare. Experts have begun warning that the secrecy with this is being conducted and how it could become a problem for the United States, which is unaware of its adversary's deficiencies. Interesting way of wording that, wouldn't you say? The U.S. is unaware of its adversary's deficiencies. Well, and they want to claim that China is keeping all this a big secret. So I don't really know. I don't have an intelligence correspondent. I don't have any, deep China connections to share with you. I could probably make something up. Who would know that? I spoke to my connection in the Chinese Liberation Party. I always thought this would be kind of funny. Suppose you get, who's that writer? I have the book here. Tom Clancy. Yeah, Tom, I think this actually happened to him. Wasn't he writing books and then he got investigated? Like, how do you know all this? And he kind of had to, I could be wrong. I don't know. I think I heard, but it was the detail that he's able to go into is pretty amazing. I know, who's the other guy? I'm drawing a blank. He's a big military writer right now, big name in military writing. I can't, but anyway, he's had to get his books, because he has a security clearance. He has to get the books approved, and they do redact certain pieces of it. But I thought, wouldn't it be really funny if I could like gather enough information to put on this whole ruse, and then the next thing you know, the intelligence agencies are involved. I guess it'd be kind of fun for a minute or two until they come through on a warrant to destroy the house and drag me into jail at 2 o'clock in the morning like that gulag. We'll see how it feels. I would wear the badge proudly. Of course I would. I might not be happy about it all the same. I wonder if you could turn that into your insurance. Hey, I was, served a wrongful warrant. I want this to be covered. I bet you the police department covers it if you push it hard enough. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I've never been on the receiving end of it. But yeah, could you imagine coming? Well, I was talking to my contacts in the Chinese Communist Party, and I'm really not supposed to say this, but they have some drone technology with AI recognition that they can take out American diplomats, even here in the United States, and they're smuggling. Yeah, I could go on this whole thing. I bet you could make it pretty realistic. I bet you could. A little AI voice work, and I could be like, oh, yes. I can't do a good Chinese accent for you. All right, I don't know why I got off on that ridiculous tangent. Let me get back to the story, okay? These Chinese military advancements. They found a drone boat off of Romania. Did I mention this here on the show? I might have. I forget these details sometimes. And the boat hull, the boat in the hull was made in the United States. The warhead was either Ukrainian or Russian, and this was a drone boat capable of taking out a warship. Dangerous, dangerous stuff when you think about it. Drone submarines, drone boats, drone airplanes at this technology. Now, all the control of that technology and counter technology then becomes important, right? If you can have a drone boat, how are they navigated? Is it all GPS? Does anybody know? It has to be, I would imagine. Like, how are the drone airplanes navigated? It has to be a GPS receiver, I would imagine. But how does that work necessarily without some kind of subscription? Does anybody know? I'll have to look into that a little bit. Anyway, either way, you can jam the drones, right? Somehow they have to be guided. And that guidance, wherever it's coming from, can be jammed. And all that technology suddenly becomes very, very important. The drones in themselves are particularly dangerous for a few different reasons, whether it's drone boats, and how long before we have drone vehicles, and you have the drone airplanes, of course. Well, particularly in the case of the airplanes, they can go anywhere, not limited really to much of anything except weather. They're pretty inexpensive. So unlike an F-18, how many drones could you make for the price of an F-18? Crazy. And even you consider, say, well, the F-18 is reusable. The drones may get shot down and so forth. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. Some do, some don't. I think they come back in cases. I don't know. There's probably all kinds of technology. And they're getting bigger. I mean, some of these are not, these are not handheld apparatus that you're talking about. But anyway, there seems to me to be something, technologically speaking, that has really gnawed at the craw of the generals. Or we're being fed a line of nonsense. I'm not sure which. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. I'll speak specifically about Force Design 2030 in the Marine Corps. On the radio on Monday, we had a Marine tanker that landed the first tank in Vietnam. He was on the radio show. If you don't know, I host a radio show on Mondays, projectchaos.org. You can go check it out. All the replays plus the podcast. It's fantastic. Projectchaos.org. Go check it out, please. Sign up for my email list while you're there. If you know any veterans, please share it with them. Anyway, this guy's legendary. His book, Unfortunate Sons, is in the Library of Congress. It was just a real honor for me. He was a 9th Marine Expeditionary Brigade. I was the 1st Marine Expeditionary Brigade. He landed the first tanks in Vietnam. I landed the first artillery in Saudi Arabia. And I can't say it like that because it didn't go like that. But I was not at all. Put it this way. The tank landing and the artillery landing in the two different periods were nothing similar. Although they didn't make a hostile landing either. It was a peaceful landing, and he spoke to that. But they literally did, make a beach landing into the water, onto the shore. We didn't do that. We were on commercial ships that arrived at a port, and we did drive the equipment off of there. But I wouldn't exactly call it a beach landing. But anyway, the process and the camaraderie of serving in Marine brigades like that generated a fantastic conversation. It was a fantastic interview. But I was thinking about it afterwards. I get very frustrated taking away the tanks and the artillery from the Marine Corps. And I think to myself, I don't want to get too into it here, but the strategic importance of these brigades and their reliance on combat arms, that's what we were, combat arms. And coming out of Vietnam, the leadership knew that it was very important, this combined arms training that was preached to us, the combination of air and artillery and tanks with infantry. And I guess now they're trying to say, hey, let's go a step further and let's do it, multi-force. And, that's going to have a certain appeal in certain circles to talk like that, for efficiency purposes. The problem is it's not practical. And the Marine Corps needs to be able to go, be ready to go and be in a self-sustaining package. But I ask myself, as they've gotten rid of artillery, which they've also largely blamed on this idea that these new technologies are making artillery obsolete. Much talk about that. And I ask myself, how can that be? You listen to all these combat operations and where they had heavy armor, it worked. And where they didn't, they had big problems. How could, history has made this clear. I'll just say this in regard to this story. There's a long-winded way of getting to that. Maybe there really is something that we're unaware of. Now, and I don't doubt that the drone technology has changed the face of the battlefield. For example, in Vietnam and the Gulf War, the United States had complete air superiority. Not initially in the Gulf War, but it was established. I mean, Saddam Hussein flew his planes out of the country because he didn't want to lose them all. And they want to save what they could. So we had enjoyed great air superiority. And if we didn't have that, and we had to be constantly under threat of air attacks, that could have been wildly changing to the whole campaign and the way we operated and the conditions that we operated under. But I think even with the changes that the United States still enjoys pretty broad air superiority when compared to other countries. I don't know. I'm not saying there's not a threat there. I just don't understand how artillery fire base became obsolete with drones. But maybe there's something else, and maybe there's something to this secret Chinese advancements. Or it's just complete propaganda to cover whatever spending sins are going on. This is a little interesting story. Right here in America, Muslim protesters chant death to America, death to Israel at a rally in Dearborn, Michigan, after the city was branded the jihad capital by the United of the United States by the Wall Street Journal. That created some serious reverberations. And I watched this whole speech to this whole thing. I thought, this is really fascinating to me. You know, I learned recently that we can't put in podcast ads on this show because we don't meet the community standards. And I kind of knew, and it's kind of a good thing, you know, telling a buddy of mine, he riled up the company. There's just these broad, vague standards that you really don't even know. And I say, it's not what it is. I've said this before. Once you get into the advertising arena, that the game changes, right? You can't have, what would be a good example? You can't have me sitting here talking about war as a racket when my main sponsors, you know, Halliburton or whatever. And they're going to be like, hey, man, can you back down on that a little bit? We got to need that support is important to our mission. But beyond that, the shadow banning, which is just broad and complete, they just shadow banned everybody at this point. It's all become pay to play. And the problem is in certain categories, they won't let you even pay to play. YouTube, I can't go on YouTube. Don't have me. You left to go to other sources. And remember, I said that because it's going to tie in with some other things I want to talk about here over today in the next couple of days. But I find it a little funny that somehow I don't meet community standards with what I'm talking about. Pro-constitution, pro-hard work, anti-communism, anti-violence. Like, what do I do that doesn't meet community standards exactly? But I've had this conversation before. I don't pretend to understand it, and I don't know if I want to, quite frankly. I'll just stick to my own little circle and do my own little thing, I guess. But I do find it a little funny that somehow, you know, under the guise of what? I don't know, free speech, I guess, that this guy can sit here and say, death to America, death to Israel, and somehow it's okay. Yeah, he's doing it out in public. I'm not saying anything should be done about it. I just find that to be an interesting dichotomy, an interesting sign of the times, I guess you could say. Ex-officials urge curbing presidential power to deploy troops on U.S. soil. Listen to this one. A bipartisan group of former senior national security and legal officials, including veterans of the Trump administration, are urging lawmakers to impose new limits on a president's power to deploy federal troops on domestic soil. While it's generally illegal to U.S. military for domestic law enforcement purposes, a law called the Insurrection Act grants presidents emergency power to use troops to restore order when they decide a situation warrants it. Legal analysis for decades have proposed overhauling the act, which President Bush, at the request of California's governor, last invoked in 1992 to suppress riots in Los Angeles. They used the United States Marines under that act to go down into the ghettos in Los Angeles. It was okay there. But the weakness of existing constraints has made on a new salience in the era of former Donald Trump, who has vowed to unilaterally send troops in the Democratic cities if he wins the 2024 election. Well, Chicago already has a National Guard, and they're talking about, you know, New York having National Guard down on the subways, and then Chicago was saying the same, and then suddenly they go quiet on that. So what's the story on all this? Well, curbing what presidential powers in, under an insurrection? What do you call what's going on our border? I find this is another one of these stupid conversations that I find infuriating. If we can't even use the military to defend our own country, what the hell are why do we have it? Who defends the border? Let's start there. I don't want to get into the whole military-industrial complex. If it's not the American military, and when does that line get crossed? If the Mexican government openly attacks us, would that warrant a response by the American military? I don't know at this point. Okay, so Mexico says, well, we're not going to do that. Instead, we're going to give ammunition and firearms and vehicles to the drug cartels and pay them and send them to attack the United States. How is that any different? Oh, wait a minute. That's our government playing that little game as well. It's ridiculous. The flow of money into this stuff. And I can just guarantee you any new changes to any laws will be a disaster. How can you possibly have any trust and confidence in the current political climate? Forget about Joe Biden. The whole thing is a mess. And you want to have them revamping anything? I guarantee you we lose in that equation. United States intelligence officials warn of potential terrorist threat at mass gatherings such as sports stadiums, concert venues, or churches. This is from the Gateway Pundit. Law enforcement officials express concern that radicals in the United States might respond to ISIS calls for similar attacks in the wake of last week's deadly terrorist attacks in the concert hall in Moscow. They've given us no specific information. However, the threat is completely plausible because of what's happening at the border. You got all kinds of, I can't believe we're not having more problems now. How can you tell me with all these people running across day in and day out, it never ends. The flow of it just keeps going. We're paying them. What is it? A pay on like, don't attack us or wait till it's time. How do you know what's going on? I don't know. And then, you have this story coming out about, potential terrorist threat. So vague and broad. What do you call that? Fear-mongering propaganda, pretty basically. Why? In conservative circles, they want to be pro-police, pro-security. And it's really true. Look at what these Democrat committees' leadership has done for security in this country. Philadelphia is a mess. New York is a mess. I can tell you from my firsthand experience, the border's a mess. You hear the reports of Chicago's a disaster, St. Louis. Where do you want to go? Everywhere the Democrats are. Hostility, crime and hostility, despair, dirt, filth-ridden, no hope, no ambition, no future, I should say. There's a town not far from us, Norristown. They're hiring a new town manager. This big, long display, $200,000 a year for this administrative role and all the responsibilities. And she have a bachelor's at a minimum, a master's preferred, bilingual would be excellent, with an excellent career opportunity. You'd be lucky to make it out of there alive. I kid you not. You'd be lucky to make it out of there without being killed. It's just a crazy place, and I don't see how it really changes to get any better. It's a hostile, angry, depressed place. You want to go down and change it? I say just go build a new community somewhere else. You're going to hear me talk more about that too. How are we doing on time? I forgot to figure out when we got started here, so we might be a little off. I don't feel like doing the nuclear Armageddon. Yeah, I'll finish with it. Maybe we'll pick it up again tomorrow. But listen to this nut job story. Would you do this? Cash-strapped Argentinians queue for eyeball scans. This is where the new president, crazy hair down there. Apparently nobody has any money. because the government can't keep spending it to prop up the economy. Argentinians eyeing a financial boost are lining up by the thousands to have their irises scanned in exchange for a few crypto tokens as part of an online biometrics project. Isn't that interesting how they do these things? Some 3 million people worldwide have so far provided their iris data to WorldCoin, an initiative of OpenAI chief Sam Altman. But few have embraced the project more fervently than Argentinians. 500,000 people in Argentina participated since WorldCoin launched last July, and queues for scans have grown longer in recent months of fast shrinking disposable income. I did it because I don't have any money, for no other reason, 64-year-old martial arts instructor Juan Sosa. Interesting. Why do I bring this up? All this talk about Mark of the Beast and what people will do. If people are hungry and they need money, they'll do anything. If you don't have money in this society, what do you do? What do you do? You're going to go out and live off the land? We haven't lived off the land in generations. We're not set up, equipped to do that in any way possible. Very few people in this country, on this planet, prepared to live without societal support. And is that really what we want to do? You know, once in a while, my beautiful 9-year-old daughter, she'll talk about, hey, she wants to be Amish. She wants to go live out on the island. You drive through there, it's just beautiful. Everything, the farms are immaculate. They have their problems. It's not a perfect world. And I know some of those people down there. Good people, good communities. Not perfect, okay? They're humans too. But here's my point. You want to live the Amish lifestyle? Guess what you sign up for? Breaking your back for your whole life. They work hard, really hard, really, really hard. That's why those farms look the way they do. So, are people prepared to do that? It's been a long time. I'd say to you that it would be a lot better if we would just maintain some basic order and structure to things, starting with checking our morals that we're not being destructive unnecessarily to animals. You look at how people treat each other, and you start with how we treat the animals. And sometimes it goes in both directions. I mean, you got animals in this, the dogs in this country treated better than some people in this country. You know, you could look at that. You got dogs going to petty paw spas, and you got homeless veterans rotting in the street. You know, what does it tell you about the country's priorities? Interesting, right? The federal government is going to freely give out money to illegal immigrants. They don't even know their name, where they came from, but we're not able to determine a service connection of your injury. So you're going to have to deny your claim, Mr. Smith. And it goes on and on. All priorities, I guess. It's interesting how that goes. But do people really want to go back to living off the land? But this dystopia where they're scanning eyeballs, it really gives you an idea of the direction things are going. It's already flipped. I was telling you this. If you don't have your phone to get a text alert, you're debanked more or less. I guess you can go to the branch, you can deal in cash and checks only. But how impractical is that in today's day and age? You're simply not able to do certain things if you live like that. Now, if that's your desire, amen to you. I'm just saying to you that it's a crazy way to live. I don't know how I feel about the biometrics. I don't want to participate in it. It makes me very, very nervous that once they have that, you know, once they have that nailed down, that identity to their database, you know, I'll say this in closing. The Bible lays out certain rules for living, and it lays out certain rules for society. And it's not meant to be rules to punish or restrict. It's saying, hey, these are the rules for living a godly, spiritual, fulfilling life. It doesn't say you're going to be free from terror, problems, horror, whatever. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that at all. It doesn't say it's going to be easy. It doesn't say that when you pray, you're going to get, you know, magic unicorns showing up at your beck and call. It says that these are the rules to live a godly life. And if you live a godly life, here are the consequences of that. And it lays it out. And I don't know why people think that even with technology, that any of those basic principles are going to change. So the simple answer is we should develop these systems with the highest priority of maintaining individual sovereignty. But nobody's even talking about it. It's going completely the other direction. Hey, God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. Sure hope to see you there. In the meantime, make it a great day.